Hi, I'm Greg Greenfell.
And I'm Libby Fulton.
And we
like
to garden.
I'm so out of time.
We like to garden.
That's fine.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome. This is our first try at recording the podcast remotely.
Yeah, behind the scenes, guys.
So bear with us because we're leaping forward in leaps and bounds, aren't we, with this technology?
Oh, 2022. And welcome to all of our listeners. And I actually did want to say, just shout out, first of all, to everyone who listens, because I think that it's really cute that we have listeners.
It blows me away.
I know. And then number two, shout out to our international listeners, because even though it seems crazy, we have some. So I just wanted to say hi to everyone internationally. Like, not sure what you're getting out of this experience, but we are so glad that you are here for it.
I think, and if you are an international fan, you might say, that's probably a stretch too far. Maybe an international listener. Let us know what it is that you enjoy. Contact us.
Yeah.
Send us, follow us on Insta and send us a message.
Yeah. Does our accent just sound random?
I wonder that. And if you're from the Northern Hemisphere,
such different seasons.
Yeah. That must be a little bit of a mind boggle at times.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
But moving on. To something really serious.
Oh, this sounds ominous. Or is it?
It's not. I was just going to ask you what you've been up to in the garden.
Oh, that is ominous. I tell you what, I haven't been up to much. Story of my life.
But your garden is done.
It is done. I still have bits to do. So I haven't got my croquet. That was what I was meant to do, but the life admin at the moment of selling the house, for those of you that have done it several times over, I commend you. Like, what? It is just never ending. Like,
well, yeah, I feel like, especially with three young children.
It's taking up all my admin life. Like, it's such a commitment. And I would rather do other things, but such is life. And the only other thing is my husband did some, sorted out some weeds and things and our mop tops.
Have you had weeds coming through your weed mat already?
Yes. And
my God.
Only in the garden that hasn't had it. And
got you.
That makes sense. And some through the shingle, which didn't have weed mat. It's just the way of life. But we've had so much rain and such like humidity, so it was bound to happen. And just that lawn upkeep, which we're going to talk about later, like after Greer's spoken. Yeah. But that has been
lawn learnings.
Oh, ready lawn learnings. That has been the high admin, but it takes up so much time.
Oh my God, I can imagine.
But we got there. Like, my husband came home after being away for a while, and he was pleasantly surprised at how good it looks.
It's looking good. So it's better than it was when it first went in.
Yeah, I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot, toot.
And so, are you allowed to walk on it now? Like, have you discussed? I know we talked about the caution tape, but have you discussed what's going to happen in an open home?
You're allowed to walk on it now. Just lightly, though, he told the children. Just lightly. So,
I mean, they're only like small children. How heavy can they be?
And how can they abide that? It's like.
And is he going to be there at the open home? Just being like, just lightly, please. Just lightly.
Lightly. Well, we have one tomorrow. And hence me, like, the disheveledness of it, because I only found out they said it was going to be tomorrow, then they cancelled it, and you know, such is life. It's going to be wet, so I hope they don't, because you know what a wet footprint on grass does?
No, I don't know.
It just really flattens it, and it can really it really leaves a big
surely they won't off. Be they won't be walking on the grass in the wet weather.
Oh, you would hope not, but you don't know these open homers.
You don't know what their agenda is.
You really don't. So, yeah, that's me. I wish I was more exciting.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for your future journey in the new garden.
Me too. It's I'm still just living my life through Greer, to be honest, at the moment. Oh, I actually can do a letter skate update. My mum, it's now been about 3 months, maybe 4 months since they went in, and mum goes, they're finally looking good.
Oh, my God. I've had lettuces be born and die by now.
And I was like, are they? She's like, yeah, I think they might be ready to pick next week.
Oh, my God.
They're seriously the slowest growing lettuces you've ever seen in your life.
So funny. I wonder what it was about them or that spot or.
I don't know. Just that spot must have been.
Yeah.
Too hard, I wonder. And
so funny.
Lack of water.
Yeah, possibly.
It pays to look after your vegetables. Okay, Nagria, enlighten us all with your flourishing garden, I might add.
So I actually got out in the garden yesterday after work and did like maybe an hour and a half just before dinner.
An hour and a half on uninterrupted gardening. Tell me, this is the dream life.
Living the dream out here, living the dream. And then, and I wasn't really planning on spending that long in the garden and I wasn't even wearing like gardening clothes or anything. I was just wearing the clothes that we were going out for dinner in. But I thought that I really just wanted to clear a couple of the veggie beds where the veggies are just done. So I was like, oh, I'll just do that. And then I ended up doing some more, but I mean, it was good. It was really good. So I cleared some of the veggie beds and I just dug some compost in.
Nice.
To make way for the new veggies.
Compost the pile that Jack's been doing, is it in the
So that's not really like that's just food scraps and it goes directly in the beds.
Okay.
This is compost as in like I just had a bag of compost. Okay. Like tui compost that I just like put on the beds and then dug in.
Okay.
So we've got a few squares free now. And then I transplanted some mescaline and lettuces.
Amazing.
Which should fill out. And then I sowed some spring onions. And
stop. Did you already have those or were they some seedlings that you had?
No, the seeds. So I've sowed the seeds.
Okay, cool.
And then they should. I've just sowed them into trays because I feel like I can't really sow things directly into the bed because if there is a spare square free.
Yeah, you want to put
the cat goes. Oh no, the cat goes in it.
Yeah,
and like lies all over it, and like I'm not wasting seeds just to get stuck on her fur.
100%, and not know that she's done it.
Yeah,
and they'd be
like
waiting.
Even yesterday, I went out and there were like those little paw prints on these empty beds, and I was just like, I can't deal with this, so I don't sow directly into the. It's just the risk isn't worth it.
Too high, and then by the time you realize that she's like. Ruined all your germinating. You've lost 2 weeks, maybe even three.
I know, and summer's coming to a close. Well, it will be. We don't have that kind of time just lying around.
No, that's way too precious.
No. Another thing that I've been doing that is not—it's not in the garden, but it's gardening adjacent—is we've been making chutneys and relishes.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that
because we have so many thousands of tomatoes, and I think I posted tonight the tomato relish that I make—the like the red tomato relish, ripe tomatoes, the Annabelle Langbein recipe
I made. Annabelle Langbein.
It's so yum. It's really simple. It's just like a basic tomato relish, but it's real good. And I made the same relish last year, and I've done it again this year, and I've still got more to do because we've still got tomatoes coming out our ears. And then we also did green tomato chutney.
Oh.
And it's real yum.
Was this a new recipe as well?
Yeah. Jack found it. I don't know where he found it.
God, he's just a gem.
Oh, isn't he? So, and we bought a preserving pan off Facebook Marketplace for $40.
Cute.
I know, so cheap. We went to Briscoe's to buy like a big kind of like stock pot.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they are so expensive.
Oh, so
like $150 for like a cheap one. And I was like, what the hell?
I've got my Nana's preserving pan, and someone was going to throw it out, and I was like, that is an absolute gold. I'll be taking that.
Yeah, we got one that's in such good condition, and it was $40.
Honestly.
So I highly recommend having a look on Facebook Marketplace. There were quite a few like around the place.
Secondhand shops.
Yeah, secondhand shops, and I have definitely seen them at the vintage market.
I was just going to say.
Avebury House.
There's one coming this weekend.
I know, on Sunday. Do you want to come?
I have
a. Oh, my God, perfect. Okay. It starts at 10.
Yeah. Do you want to come? Okay, perfect. Because I just need more things.
Just making plans on the pod. This is also a time for me and Libby just to generally catch up on life. So
we did see each other last night, but it was a group setting.
It was a group setting, and I barely got a word into you. No, that's not true. And what was I talking about? Oh, chutney's preserving pan. Got it. Also last night we cut out some of the cosmos that had just actually gotten so big and it was smothering so much stuff. So we didn't take out the whole thing. We took out half of it. And it's really good now. The garden, that bed now looks like it's kind of on purpose again. And you can see the straw flowers and the chocolate cosmos and the rose that was underneath it. It was smothering so much stuff. And everything underneath it has got real leggy.
Has it?
And like it's all real scraggly under there because it's all been searching for the sunlight because the cosmos has been covering it. I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry.
Like, mother, let me survive.
I know, I felt bad. So it's looking a lot tidier in that bed now. And
can I just jump in with your straw flowers? What is your end game with them? Are you going to try dry them? When are you going to do that? Pick them to do that?
I'm not going to try and dry them, not this year. I would like to get into drying flowers, and I do have a flower press, and I haven't done anything about it this year. So probably next year.
Okay.
At the moment, I've left them, and they've actually lasted. Like, they have flowered consistently from right through.
Amazing.
And they have no signs of stopping.
And they always look so healthy.
Yeah. I think they're a real win for any garden.
Yeah.
I've got a little white one and it's so cute. And they close up at night and I always find it so cute when plants close up at night. I don't know why I find it so cute. It's like so adorable. You guys are just going to bed. Like, I just love it.
Cuties, when are you going to open up for me tomorrow?
No, just like take yourself up to bed, you little cuties. I love it.
It is cute. And I like to think of little bugs sleeping in there at night time.
Oh my god, cute. Not ugly bugs, just cute ones.
Yeah.
One thing that we haven't done but we are doing, me and you, is that we're going to pick up some peonies from Margaret at Frensham.
Honestly.
So she is just the best, and she emailed us and asked us if she's digging up and dividing her peonies on she does it mid-February, and she said that that is like not a traditional time to do it, but she's always done it mid-February. So that's also like a little PSA for people if they've got peonies that they want to dig up and divide. Do it next week.
I'm actually going to do it next week too. So I have at our house, we have a whole heap of peonies that I took out the back that were my Nana's, but my favourite one is this massive one that I think has been with the house for a very long time. I'm taking it with me because people aren't going to be looking for that. And when they come to look at the house, they're going to see like a dying peony bush and not be like, I want that.
Yeah.
So I'm 100% taking that next week. And actually, that is great timing because I thought I was going to have to do that in May, but actually I've got a great chance of that surviving if I go by Margaret's, like,
yeah. And she said she's going to send us instructions on how to replant them and stuff.
So next week, I'm excited.
Yeah, so that's really cool. She's just so nice.
I was actually like overwhelmed when I got the email. I couldn't believe it when she said the name. I was like, me?
I know.
The thoughtfulness.
Just the thoughtfulness.
Sorry.
So those are the things that I have been doing, and I've got a little list of three things that I really need to do. And if I had been more on top of my shit, I would have had them done, but I just haven't but I thought they might be a good reminder for people as well. Mm-hmm. That it's a good time of year to do these things. So one was I really need to clear out all the dead pots and buy new potted colour, because like just so much stuff has crisped away or gone to seed. Like it's just not, nothing is really working out there at the minute.
Exactly what I need to do as well. I have actually a whole heap of empty pots that I had the intention of filling the end of summer. I haven't done it, so that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a really good, because you've still got heaps of time for things to be flowering. I'm not going to sow any flowers, but I am just going to buy stuff from the garden centre that's kind of like already in flower
and stick it in some pots.
Yeah, so I really need to do that. I need to clear out. I've got heaps of annuals that have died back, like all the cornflowers and, like, I don't know, I've still got heaps of, like, dead Emmy Majors. The sweet peas are, like, slowly, like, dying away. So I really need to clear out, like, all the annuals and weed. I feel like the weeds are real out of control, but that just is what it is.
It's just that time, but also exciting to see all those annuals starting to die down and have seen what they've done this season and kind of have you thought about which ones you're definitely going to go with again next year, the ones you hope self-seed and the ones that you're like, I'm pulling all those bad boys out now because I don't really want them to just pop up.
Yes, yeah, I have thought about that and I think I've got my list pretty much done for what I will be
keeping and not
wanting next year. Yeah, keeping for next year in the garden.
Cute.
Yeah, although it doesn't always work. Like, I tried so hard to get rid of all of the borage this year, and we've literally got so many borage plants in the garden. Like, I couldn't keep up with it, and it's in there now, and I think that's just my life.
Oh, I have the funniest story about borage.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to name the person, but they do listen. And I was asked about my opinion, which I get a lot, and I'm always like to people, we have a podcast, but we don't know much.
We know Monty.
We know Monty. Anyway, she goes, so what do I do with my herb? And she's like, barrage. The barrage?
Oh,
and I was like, barrage. Barrage. And I was just real, like confused.
It sounds so fancy.
So fancy. I was like, I've never heard of barrage. Barrage, what's it look like? And we had this conversation. She's like, it just dying on me. I don't know what to do. What do you think? And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I must have to Google it. And then like about 5 minutes later, because I'm a bit slow these days, it clicked. And I was like, do you mean borage?
Those sound so, like, one sounds so glam and one sounds like a bricklayer.
100%. She was like, borage. And I was like, yeah, like, borage, B-O-R-O-A-G-E. Is it how you spell it? No, B-R-A-G-E. Yeah. And she was like, oh, my God, I've been calling it the wrong thing for so long.
Barrage.
I was like, I do that all the time.
That's cute. Well, yeah, often I feel like, especially with plants, you just see the names written down and you've got absolutely no fucking idea how they're actually pronounced.
I had no clue. But the other thing that I was like internally like, oh gosh, she's an amazing houseplant person, like incredible houseplants. And I'm like, how did you kill borage? Like, it's
like, I can't get rid of it.
I know. I was like, most people I know just like, it is just a weed that just
returns. Oh my God, who is it? Do I know them?
Yeah, you do know them.
I get it.
Not as bad as like saying that you're a barrister when you're a barista, but
we've got a friend that did that on her CV. Said she was a barrister for muffin break.
It's just funny, like, and nothing
is funny.
Yeah, it's cute,
and I'm sure lots of people have actually done that too on their CVs.
Spell check. Come on.
Come on. But we do need to move on. Today we're going to talk about preparing the garden for autumn.
Yes.
For the next season.
I'm so unprepared for this topic.
I thought you were going to say for autumn. I was like, Libby, you're not even going to be in your house in autumn.
Oh, that too. I feel like when I was thinking about it, because if the garden's still quite full and busy, it makes it hard to sort of prep it. But are you talking about when you've got, like, space?
Yeah, and I'm just talking about, so because I'm quite an impatient person, I'm always thinking about, I get halfway through one season and I'm immediately thinking about the next season and like what I need to be doing for the next season. And so I feel like summer, we've still got like at least a month of summer left. But it goes so quick.
Oh, it really does.
Already like lots of the annuals and stuff are dying back. Mm-hmm. And there will be some late summer bloomers. Like my asters are just starting to really shoot up. Still no blooms, but that's like a sign of my late summer garden. But, yeah, I'm already thinking about an autumn, what I'm going to be doing in the garden, because I think it's a really good time to move things, to divide things. The soil is still really warm because it gets some really nice warm days in autumn, but the plant isn't trying to put on flowers or fruit. No, and so they can put their energy into their roots.
And really,
so it's a really good time. Yeah. So they can really establish. And so next spring they'll really take off. So I feel like it's the perfect time to like either lift things and divide them
and take
what's appropriate for that plant. Take heaps of cuttings and stick them in a sheltered spot just over winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then in spring you can pop them out. Yeah, and move things around.
I think that's what I'm most looking forward to, is making my plan for like cuttings and dividing up some of my plants and stuff that I have left here. So I'm most excited about that.
Yeah, and it's the perfect time to do it. I wouldn't really start doing anything until March-ish, like mid-March. Yeah. For like dividing and lifting and all that kind of stuff, because otherwise it might still be a bit hot. And if we get like, I feel like in February you can still get some pretty scorching days. And I feel like a plant that's already stressed from being moved or divided just won't like it.
Unless you're like looking to find the ultimate champion in your garden and you...
True.
And you get one that, after all your hard efforts, but you get one, you're like, this plant really wants
this. This is it.
This is the gold medal winner. It should have been a Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
What about, we also were going to touch on what things you could sow now to fill in through that autumn garden beds. In the veggie gardens especially, like there's lots of options. Because you still, as Greer was saying, you've still got time. You've got a lot of sunlight hours in your day, and the soil temperature hasn't going to decrease too much over the next 6 weeks, so you can get a good head start on some veggies and seedlings and things.
Yeah, so you can be sowing any leafy green, so spinach, mescaline, lettuces, all those types of things. You can be sowing, I just sowed some spring onions.
Yeah, I was just going to say some root crops that you might think, if you're not too sure, but they're getting a good start on them that might carry on into like late autumn, early winter, Still great.
Yeah, so I'm going to be in March, I'm going to be sowing onions and leeks and broccoli.
Okay.
And they will sit in the ground all winter and then be ready in spring.
Yep.
And in spring, I'll sow more of those things so that I've kind of getting a continuous cycle of them. And garlic is sown in winter. I think the traditional day for sowing garlic is the shortest day of the year, which is in June, but I think you can do it anytime in May and June.
That's exciting.
So as things start to finish up now, if you're not filling the space with kind of short-term crops, then I would be digging in compost as you're lifting things. So like tomato plants and zucchini plants, stuff that has like really put on like a massive effort over the summer.
It's really like
it's probably depleted the soil. Yeah. So I would dig in lots of compost and leave it to sit for a couple of weeks at least, just to let everything kind of settle down.
And before you even start to think about what you're going to do with that bed, give it some rest and let it all soak in basically.
Yep.
Because you might even find that you will probably have to rotate those crops anyway and think about what beneficial crop you might put in for that for the following season that's going to add more nitrogen and things into the soil rather than
depleting. Yeah. And that's something that you can do over winter as well, because people plant, is it lupins?
Yes.
Plant lupins in their veggie beds over winter.
Yeah. They like release a heap through the rhizome, so that's a great one that you could use.
Yeah, Do you have to buy a special one or do you just like sow lupins?
I think you could just sow any flowering lupins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it has to be a specific type.
Yeah, because they feed the nitrogen back into the soil, don't they?
Yeah.
Lots of people plant them over winter in their veggie crops, I think. I've seen it online, so it must be true. Yeah, and work out maybe, I don't know what kind of veggie beds people have or if they just kind of do ad hoc in pots, but just kind of making a plan on what you're going to be growing where and how much of it you're going to be growing.
Yeah.
You really want to, if you're sowing stuff in autumn, you really need to think about the position in regards to like how much sunlight it's going to get in winter. So in my veggie garden, I've got four beds, two of my beds in the coldest of winter, they get literally no sun because the sun's so much lower and it just doesn't get over the next house next to us.
Mm-hmm.
But then two of the beds get sun. So I'm going to leave two of my beds completely bare because I just think there's no point in growing anything in them. They just won't get enough sun. And then in the other two beds is where I'm going to sow everything.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that's something to think about as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And even potentially in your veggie beds over that time, what you've got literally grown next to each other to make sure that you've positioned them correctly for the sun, that's something it isn't going to overtake them.
Yes, so you always plant the things that are going to be tallest at the end where the most sun is, like at the end, so they're not shading at anything else in front of them.
I was just going to say, is it beans? I've been thinking of this in the back of my head. A lot of beans are nitrogen fixing, aren't they? Legumes?
Oh, are they?
Or is that nitrogen, like they take it all up? I can never remember.
I don't know. legumes.
Yeah, legumes, they do. They have a symbiotic relationship with soil bacteria and help fix it back into the soil.
That's so good. I've got beans in there now.
Oh, great. You're just doing a wondrous job. That's why I think, I know, and I'm pretty sure it's, I could have this wrong, but that's why you never use this plant tomatoes like in the same spot again, isn't it, like without doing anything to the soil.
Because they're so hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to really do some work on it or like completely empty your pot. Like don't reuse the soil that's in your pot for another plant later in the year.
No, you shouldn't do that anyway, can you?
No, I've learned that the hard way. interesting, though. I'd love to hear what other people do with their tomatoes in between.
Plant your tomatoes in the same beds every year? What do people do? I mean, we are both quite new. Like, you've always grown veggies, but you just kind of put them in the garden where they fit.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, veggie beds dedicated to them.
No.
And I am really new to veggie growing, so I don't really – I mean, I've got lots of books that I should be reading about it, but I just am lazy and I want to hear from people. Please let us know. Help us.
Help. Help me out. Please send help.
So that's a big job to do is things fruiting and finishing. Mm-hmm. Take them out, put stuff in the soil. If you're not going to do an autumn sowing, think about – like if you want to put any green crops in there over winter. So that is something else. And the lifting and dividing stuff is what I've done is in my garden is I've gone around and taken lots of photos of each bed. And then I'm kind of making notes on what I want to do in each bed, like what plants I want to lift, what plants I need to divide, what plants I kind of need to get rid of because they're not working, and where the kind of – and then once I've done all that in autumn, I'll be able to see the gaps in the beds and if I need to buy any kind of perennials in autumn to fill in those gaps. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, great. You have just, blown my mind with that suggestion. I don't know why I've never thought of that before. And I think that's a great tip for, busy people or if you've got lots on or a big garden. I've got a Polaroid camera. I'm going to take physical photos so they don't get lost on my phone and put them in my new garden book. So,
oh my God, amazing.
So I've got that physical reminder to look back and see. And then what a great idea, because then you can literally know what you've got ahead, what's just happened and what you're planning for the next year, what you're going to do.
Yes. Yeah.
That is excellent.
And because it's really easy in spring as well, I reckon, when you're planting heaps of new stuff, you forget how big everything gets. And so I always end up with stuff that's like completely like at the moment with the cosmos, like so just smothering plants because I've overplanted. I mean, I'm never going to underplant, but it's a really good reminder of like, okay, the garden looks really piddly at the start of spring, but just wait and you're like, it's going to be massive. So just relax.
And you can't imagine, like I find it so hard to imagine how it's going to fill in the space. So, that is the best tip. I'm going to do that. And also as a reminder of when I do things, when I am adding them into my gardening diary, of what I've just done and as a record, like that visual record rather than just notes that's easily lost.
Yeah.
Take Polaroids. I'm going to let you know how
it's a really good idea. I feel like I want to get a Polaroid camera now.
I know. It sits in a drawer and I don't even use it half the time because.
Oh my God. I feel like I want to buy one.
Admin.
Any excuse to spend money.
Oh, so does your camera go underwater? Because I'm going to get one too.
Jack, I needed this for my gardening. another thing that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to, because there's a couple of dahlias in my dahlia border that I'm not either going to lift and divide or pull out completely because it's not working.
Okay.
And for me, for my personal colour scheme. Like I want to refine it a little bit.
Can I have some tubers?
100%.
Okay, great.
You just tell me which ones you want. So I'm going to tie string around the stems of the ones because at the moment it's easy to be like, oh, I don't want that one, or I'm going to divide that one because that's my favourite. But once they start dying back, I'm not going to have a clue. I'm not going to be able to remember which ones they are. So at the base, I'm going to tie bits of string around the ones. Do you know what I mean? So that when they all die back, I know which ones I need to get rid of. And I think I'll do two different coloured string, like one to divide, one to lift and throw away.
Because as it's often happened, when you tie a piece of string around the tree that you want to keep, someone thinks you've tagged it for removal. Personal experience with that one. So
I feel like your husband is a menace. Like, people, you do not need to watch out for slugs and caterpillars. You need to watch out for Libby's husband.
I get what he's done. Like, they look great, but the mop tops to me were full. They were fluffy. They were just great. He's trimmed them.
How big are they now?
They're like proper balls, but they just looked like shorn sheep. A little bit.
It's not the vibe. Not the vibe.
And so unnecessary, but.
Everybody loves trimming trees. Trimming anything.
He is trigger happy on power equipment. That's for sure.
I kind of get it. It is very addictive.
I feel the same when I'm that.
Like, give me a hedge trimmer and I always take it a step too far.
Yeah, I'm the same with loppers or deheading. I'm just like, it's my vibe to just snip away.
Feels quite satisfying. But that is what I'll be doing with my dahlias. The only other thing that I will say about getting the garden ready for autumn is seed saving how to do that. So you just always leave the seed like head on the plant for as long as possible. It will turn really dry, usually papery. A dark brown colour. You can often hear the seeds like jingling around.
Wait for that rattle.
Yeah. And then that's when you want to take it. And you just want to take it, stick it in an envelope, stick the seeds in an envelope, label it.
Label
the year. Label it and label the year that you've, or the date that you've picked it, because the seeds will only, like, you really should use them the next season. You could try and use them a season after that, but you're just going to lose viability. So, and then stick it in a cupboard over winter.
Somewhere nice and dry.
Yep. And that's that. So definitely. And that's also a tip for sweet peas on that string. If you, like me, have got a tower of sweet peas and they're all different varieties and there's like a couple of varieties that you're really keen on growing the next year, just like tie a little string with a label on it saying which one it is so that once, because when it comes to the time where you're going to be picking the seed, you're going to have no idea which plant is which. So
yeah, and towards the end there, you can actually, even if you're worried, like put like a net mesh or like a bag around the seed head so that It doesn't
fall. Yeah, so when they fall or if they pop open, yeah. Yep. Yeah, because some of the seeds heads will like pop open to release their seeds to go flying and you might miss a chance.
You might be, you know, they're like the barrage. They're already throughout Greer's garden.
Yeah. So sometimes self-seeding is really cool. Sometimes it's not.
Okay, cute.
So do you have anything else for the autumn, getting ready for autumn?
No, I do not.
I mean, it might be a little bit early, but I just love to look forward for the next season.
No,
I feel like for me, I feel like planning is, I get so much enjoyment. I get like as much enjoyment out of the planning as I do the gardening.
As the execution.
I love thinking about it, thinking about what I'm doing, thinking about what I'm going to do. What do I want to do? Googling. Just researching. I love
it. You are a real planner. I'm the opposite. I feel like my motivation comes from me getting into the garden and then I start and then I'm just like, this is, I've got to do this, this, and this. And then I just keep going. And
yeah. Different strokes.
For different folks.
Oh, that's why we're such a good team.
This is true. The only other thing I will add is that for bulbs and thing plants that you are going to keep in the ground that you haven't lifted, to continually water them over this time. Mm. That's still crucial before they start to like prepare themselves for next season. And
preach.
My other hot tip, which I learned last year, is with the hostas, is leave them as long as possible before you're going to sort them out and deheat them, or if you're going to divide them. That's my hot tip. So I would definitely wait until deepest autumn to start doing that.
Yes. And wait until things have died back properly.
Yeah.
Once the top, they will look really unsightly a little bit. But it's better to wait until the plant has completely done what it's supposed to do, has then died off, and then you can cut off all the dead stuff.
Yeah, and it will be so satisfying when that happens, like looking at your clear bed. Okay, should we move on to lessons learned?
Ready lawn.
Yeah. Ready lawn saga. So I actually did a little bit of research to back up what we did as pros and cons. The key thing is watering, as we know. Like I got told many times over by my husband, just like, what are you going to do whenever you need it? Like he was ringing me to make sure I watered the lawn, because it's not as if I've let lawn die before. 100% here. So you're not allowed to like walk on it for, it's going to take time to like set in and for the root system to like transfer from into your topsoil. So it's really, you can't walk on it and you've got to water it in really well. We probably watered it in a little bit too well. And at one point I would describe it as the lawn, like a piece of carpet on top of some jelly on top of the water. Like, and if you're, it was really soft and like, oh, it was a weird feeling, like trying to like get to the hoses on top of it. So I think because of that, we have run into a problem that we have had mushrooms come up in places. That can be a problem if you overwater it, but also if you've got poor drainage, moist areas anyway, like dark shadowed like parts of your garden bed, like I should say of your garden. So I think actually it was like probably a contribution of all those factors that have led to us getting some mushrooms. And
it's quite normal. We had mushrooms in our lawn after winter this year.
Yeah, but in the height of summer.
Yeah, no.
But apparently, so the main reason that they will like not work ready lawn is because people just do not water them enough. And so it's on the a ready lawn website that they have, the company that we use out in Kaipoi. It talks about that a new word. It's evotranspiration. Never heard of it before, okay. But it's like the how the grass evaporates the water from the soil through the grass into the air. So it's like
through the grass stem.
So it's like transpiring the water out and then evaporating out the grass stem. That's what it means. And in Canterbury, grass lawn will evaporate just without any additional water on it for up to 5 millimeters a day. of water. 5 mil of
water. No wonder it looks so dry all the time.
Yeah. So you've got to, over the summer months, from December through to March, your lawn needs to be watered like minimum 2 to 3 times a day, depending on your situation.
So if you're
living in, like, I know, and if you're living in dry areas like Canterbury, Otago, like, you know, over those summer months where it's just really dry air, it's not humid at all, that's where you're going to have to water it in and potentially.
So is this just if you are laying it?
If you're laying it.
In the summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is normal grass. We'll evaporate that in Canterbury.
Yeah, got it.
Regularly. So not even ready lawn. So that's why it needs extra amount of water. And then basically, if you don't water it enough, when that they say to about 50 millimeters deep into your topsoil, needs to be moist to keep the grass from like permanently wilting. And when it does that, often it has no chance of coming back. And so that happens really quickly with ready lawn because it's not tapped into the fully attached into your topsoil yet. And that's why it'll die off and browns off really quickly. But they did say that some of the base of the ready lawn will look worse before it gets better. And that kind of did happen in some parts around the edges of each, like, of the laid strip. And it's definitely come away. And then the tip is, so with the watering over winter and autumn, you probably only need to do it maybe every second day or not at all, like, maybe once a week.
If you're laying it.
And then in spring, maybe once a day. So it's a lot of admin. That's why they recommend putting, if you go into the effort of putting ready lawn down, you do need to put irrigation systems in, which obviously we didn't do. We just had our 4
multi-sprinkler system.
And so it just depends on how much space you've got. So that's the key factor. So that, one of the main things, if you do get the fungal spores like we've got coming up, the next key thing you can do is mowing. So that's the second most important thing. So most people think, oh, well, it's not, you know, it's still thickening up. I'll just leave it for a couple months to mow it. But as soon as it sort of gets a bit sturdy that you can stand on it after about 3 or 4 weeks, you can start to mow it. And you just need to put it on a high setting like you might do over winter. You don't really want to like mow it real low anyway, your normal grass. So keep it on a high setting and mow it. And when my husband did this recently, I obviously wasn't allowed to mow these lawns. He looked so proud going around mowing the lawn. And I was like, I can barely tell you've been. He's like, I don't want to ruin it. You've just got to go.
Just a little bit of time.
Just a little trim off the top. But that'll help it thicken up and to promote the growth within the grass. Now, the other thing to get is the fungal, right? The fungus. And you just can't really get like a environment-friendly fungicide for lawn. Like you do have to get one of those like Lawn Pro all chemical fungicides. So that's quite disappointing. So I think this is really the way of the gardening world, isn't it? You're either a lawn person or you're not. And I think the people that aren't lawn people won't care, so they won't get ready lawn. And I don't think they're the people that are into having chemicals in their gardens. So I think if you're the person that's going to get ready lawn, you're going to spend that money on it, you're most likely going to be someone that's quite keen on chemicals within your garden. I feel like they just sort of go hand in hand. But I did think of, did some Google for 2 other options that you could use, which surprised me. For one, is we've talked about before, like for like fungal treatment on roses and like your veggie plants and fruit trees and stuff, about like copper sprays. Didn't know you could use them on the lawn. So that's a sort of a more helpful alternative for people. And this one, neem oil. So the NEEM oil, which I've heard from a friend, it's got like huge like antifungal and antibacterial properties to use like on your body, like for like skin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I feel like I've only ever heard of it in the context of plants.
I had never heard it in the context of plants. And so I was like, so she like advised me to use it for like eczema.
And your fungal problems. Your personal fungal my problems.
Personal fungal problems. I won't mention where. Nah. but I do a lot of barefoot gardening, so that will give you a guide. I have never heard it in the, like...
Yes, people use it on indoor plants as well.
Yeah, so...
No, to get rid of mealybugs.
So that's when I first heard about it, with, but I never thought about outdoor, and I thought it was more to do with, you know, the people that are into essential oils, spraying the essential oils all over their plants. And it's like, okay, whatever you're into, like, I get it. I love an essential oil.
Aren't you into essential
oils? Yeah, I love an essential oil, but mainly for the smell.
You're not like, spraying it around the garden.
No, and also I know it's not going to cure me of...
your fungal problems.
I like the smell of peppermint in my house, okay? So, yeah, I had no idea. So it talked about it didn't say for use on lawns, but obviously it had all the uses in the garden, and then it had a blog about someone has tried it on their lawn. So I think that's another option for someone that is into their lawns and does have a fungus problem, give it a go, but doesn't want to use like a hard lawn chemical fungicide.
I'm a real lawn rookie, and I didn't even know that. I thought the mushrooms just like went away when it was sunny. Do you actually have to do something about them?
No, I mean, if you want, like, you'll find that you'll have different kinds of fungal spores within your soil, and so they will, and to be fair, you can get more that sort of come into your, because they obviously are airborne, a lot of them, that might get trapped there, but you can get rid of them, and some funguses will attack the lawn and give you those, like, big brown patches. You know, you see in grass and you just think, oh, that's died, like, that's just died off, like, must have got sunburned or something. That's actually a fungus that does that. So what tends to happen is you don't really want mushrooms and stuff growing up, because that means that you've got, that's like the fruiting body of a fungus that's within your lawn. So it could it could be a moss, it could be like all sorts of things that it would come out of. So that's why you probably don't want certain funguses within your lawn, but then again, what you might have is, that's why a lot of grass seed will have endophyte, which is an actual, is another fungus, but it's like a it has a symbiotic relationship with the grass, and so that fights off unwanted like funguses and pests and stuff in your grass.
That's cute for the grass.
Yeah, so it's really just some funguses are obviously beneficial and some are detrimental to your lawn. But also you don't know what mushrooms are going to come up in your grass, and these were not like field mushrooms, they were like quite yellow stalky ones. I do not know what they were, and personally I just don't want them around for the kids to touch. Like,
no.
Side point, I once did, I don't know if the there was a lecturer at Canterbury University that he was like the microbiologist who specialized in like New Zealand fungus, and like he was incredible. And they used to get him at the hospital to try, and like people would go out picking mushrooms all the time and get like pick the wrong thing.
Why the hell would you ever pick a mushroom in the wild? I feel like 99% of them are probably poisonous.
And that's what he said, that so even in the rest of the world, like they hardly have categorized a lot of mushrooms, and a lot of them were tourists that would come here and think, oh, that's a such and such mushroom, and like pick it and cook it up. And
I just
New Zealand mushrooms are completely, completely like, so many of them haven't been discovered. I don't want to say like 99% of them haven't been discovered, but it was like a huge amount. It's just like there's so many in New Zealand that, and we obviously, who cares about New Zealand? So heaps of them don't have, like we just don't have the people and the funding to like identify them and find out what like their properties are.
But I would just, what would possess you? People are fucking idiots.
Oh.
I just think they've got like, of all of the like foraged food that you could think of, I feel like what has the worst rep for killing you? A mushroom.
But maybe some people were thinking that they're growing certain types of mushrooms, Greer, and then they like
are. It gives me that. Imagining picking a wild mushroom and eating it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Okay. Well, that's probably it, unless there's anything else you want to share about your lawns.
No, they are my top tip. Yeah. It's just
so they're watering. Looking good.
They look yeah. amazing.
And would you recommend the company that you've used?
Yes.
Who are they?
I want to say Easy Lawn.
You say they're on Quiet Boy.
Yeah. Easy Lawn. There you go.
Oh,
I had them right. Yeah.
So Easy Lawn from Kaiapoi, Boy, you'd recommend?
Yeah, amazing. And the day that they did it was like stinking hot, like 30 something degrees, which didn't bode well, like from the start. And they just worked tirelessly. 2 days in a row, just backwards and forwards, so fit to to prep the soil and then just laying it out and rolling it. And when they finished at the end, when they'd put it all in, the care that they took to like make sure it was all tapped in and to not walk on it and to get every like corner and make sure it all fitted in absolutely perfect was incredible. Like these big strong men like then were so gentle at the end with the care.
Ooh,
that
they mama.
Ooh. I was just like, oh,
I love a big strong man being gentle.
Yes, she does.
Okay, that's good to know. And I would take away from also your tips that not to probably do it in summer. It sounds like heaps more work.
Heaps more work. Definitely. I think you're supposed to do it like any lawn in those like each of seasons, so in like autumn and spring.
Mm.
And even winter, I think you'd have more luck because you can still water it in, but you're not going to worry about it drying out so easily, and you don't actually need to water it too much, so I think it has more time to set in as well, because that's a hard thing. Like if we did really overwater ours, and I think that's where we've gotten the problem with the fungus.
Lessons learned. That probably wraps us up.
Yes.
If you want to get in touch with us,
We Like to Garden
on Insta and Facebook. And thanks to everyone for listening.
And we'll see you next time. And please let us know what you've been up to with your tomatoes and just in general, any questions.
Yeah, general. What's been happening with summer gardens?
Love some pictures.
Yes, I feel like maybe winter, spring, we had like a few listeners message us with pictures of their gardens. And I would actually really like an update, please. So once you've messaged us once, you're actually locked in contractually to keep messaging us.
Don't just leave us hanging.
Because we're nosy bitches.
We definitely are. And any questions, problems, or you want us to chat about anything in particular, we are your gals. So, yeah, drop us a line. Hit us with that big show number.
Okay. Bye. Bye.